Good morning. How's everybody feeling this morning? Yeah. Kind of so-so, huh? Well, we'll see if we can fix that. All right. Recently, I preached a sermon entitled The Ultimate Makeover. Now, this is not the extreme makeover. The extreme makeover just, makes a mess. But the ultimate makeover is one that is from the inside out. It doesn't make much difference how you dress. It doesn't make any difference how beautiful you are, how handsome you are, unless you're beautiful on the inside. That's the important thing. In that message, I want to give a quick review. I gave a daily prescription for inner beauty according to the scriptures. And I will reiterate that if you're taking notes and want to note these. It was a four-part message. And the theme of it was, let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. And this is the kind of beauty that far exceeds anything so meaningless as your hair or your clothes. This is the kind of beauty that shines from the inside out. It's something that's perceived more than seen. And that's the kind of beauty we should seek. The first part of that message was praise. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Psalms 145:2. Notice every day. This is a daily prescription. Second was pray. Psalms 88, verse 9. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. You see, there again, prayer is recommended every day. Now, I arranged these parts of the sermon so that they could be easily remembered. Praise, prayer, study, and serve are the four parts. And that's P-E-S-S. Praise, prayer, study, and serve. And each element follows the other, and they all involve a scriptural admonition to daily, actually, because real beauty does not come overnight. It does not come just by getting liposuction or whatever it is. That won't do it. Real beauty is a result of something that we do on a daily basis. And so in Acts 17:11, it says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the word every day. And so that's the third part of the prescription, study. And the fourth part is serve. This is putting the study into action. It doesn't make any difference. You can study yourself silly, and if you don't put it into action, then it doesn't mean anything. So, when you learn something and you apply it, it has some meaning. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, but encourage one another every day. That's your job. I assume that you're in contact with another Christian every day. That is your job description. A lot of people, what should I be doing to do the works of God? Or what should I do to have a ministry? It says they encourage each other every day. Part of your daily duty description. So, this week, I have a message noted inside your bulletin. It is entitled, Behold the Beauty of the Lord. In order to be beautiful, we have to perceive beauty. We have to, and spiritually speaking, in order to reflect the beauty. beauty of Christ, we must be able to see His beauty. It is not something seen with the eyes, but rather with spiritual perception. In order to be beautiful, we must be able to taste of the Word of God. We must be able to sense the aroma of God's presence and His working in His people. We must be able to hear the voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That is those who are pliable, who are flexible to God's leading, who are seeking God's truth, disregarding the things beyond the field. And last, in order to have real inner beauty, it really takes the touch of God's hand. This is not something we achieve in and of ourselves. And no matter how we paint ourselves, and no matter how much we work out, we will never have real, true beauty. I don't care, you know, how pleasant we are to the eyes. You will quickly, if you are the most beautiful person in the world, you will quickly become homely. If you do not have any strength of character, if you do not have a love and care and concern for others, if you're filled with selfishness and especially conceit, you quickly become homely to the other person, no matter how beautiful you are. And you may recall last time I talked about an amazing experience I had. I was a brand new Christian. And here I find myself in the middle of University of Washington college campus, suddenly as a believer. Wow, what an experience that was. Oh. Suddenly the whole place looked different. Well, I discovered something really strange. There was a young woman on campus as part of a Bible study ministry. And that young woman was, if you'll forgive me, extremely homely. I mean, extremely. It was a very sad thing, I thought. But she was in this prayer group, and I was a brand new Christian, and I talked with her, and wow! She really astounded me. She had a kind of beauty that was on the inside that I could see, and I'd never had that sense before. I mean, the only thing that I could see was the outward appearance. Everything else was secondary. But in her case, she was beautiful on the inside. In fact, I'll tell you just something that she related one time that really stirred my thinking. She was talking about how it works for Christians. And her explanation was more of emotion than it was simply words. And she said, it's like this. Do you see? I can't do it like she did. Her picture was receiving from God and giving to others. And that is the picture that we need to have if we'll have real beauty. And I have prepared a message that gives five ways that we can receive from God and then give to others. Now, just as we have five senses that connect us to the physical world, we also have spiritual senses that connect us to God's creation, to His spiritual creation, and most particularly to His nature. Now, that connection, that spiritual connection, the connection of the spiritual senses, is the source of the truth. It's from the inside. Remember when Jesus was teaching
and he talked about the scribes and Pharisees. He was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he said that they were like whitewashed tombs. They were painted on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. What an ugly picture. And how senseless and stupid it was for them to be cleansed on the outside and not the inside. So here's what he said. Cleanse the inside of the vessel and the outside will be clean too. Could we reasonably say that if by God's Spirit, by His power, by His love and nature, that the inside of us is transformed, and we forget about the appearance, that the outside would be beautiful in a deeper sense than simply having a pretty face or a great body. Those things may be nice, but they're only minor in comparison with the real issues of life. Okay, so now, the senses, the spiritual senses that God has given us, and how we can cultivate a stronger connection in those senses. The first thing is sight. In Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20, the Apostle Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, you see what he's saying? There is a spiritual perception there that is vital. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Have you seen those things? Paul's prayer is that you would. That power, he said, is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. So, you see, the picture is one of a great power that we come to see in Christ that can only be likened to the resurrection power of Jesus. That's what it says. Now, I thought it would be nice. I could prepare for you something that would help you to connect to the spiritual on a spiritual basis. As far as you go, I can't think of a better way than to show some of the beauty that God has created. Lawn, and it's just gorgeous. Kind of a pastoral thing. If God has created such immense beauty, if we have eyes to see it, it is seen through faith. It is not seen without faith. Here's the way I used to look at a scene like this. I used to just walk on through it. Well, that's nice. You know why? Because I didn't believe. I had some belief in God. I didn't think of him as the one who created all this gorgeous creation for me to look at. I didn't think of it as expressing the elements of his nature. And so I was blind. I was spiritually blind. But when I became a Christian, my eyes were open. Suddenly, I saw everything differently. I saw beauty in places where I never saw it before. The green trees, the sunrise, the flowers. I was astounded that these things created by God obviously have some message for us. He meant to convey something. What is it when he creates something that is beautiful, something that's beautiful? What is the message yet? Well, evolution doesn't have much of a message. It just kind of happens. And I was scrolling through the world, it just kind of happens, basically. I was inspired to see such a wonderful thing that surrounds every, I mean in every sense. My eyes, my touch, my face, all of it. But suddenly, recognize the progression. What the life I had. And it wasn't because of anything, at least to begin with, it takes something more than something. You see, to have beauty, it depends on the perception, it's what you see.
The Lord provided some gorgeous scenery for us. He intended that our sight would be filled with reminders everywhere of His presence. Remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? Okay. And what was the promise that He gave that culminated with these words? For they shall see God. Okay, when somebody gets it, you can raise your hand. We'll bring it back. Yes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we want to strengthen that connection of the spiritual sight, we should determine to be a pure heart. Now, how can you do that? How can you do that? I'm a man of unclean hands, unclean lips. How can you do that? Well, God has transformed me. He has covered me with the sanctifying power of the blood of Christ. He has forgiven my sins. He has made me clean. And that's how I stand before Him now. Now, it's a process between myself. As I'm doing, He continues to forgive.
That's the privilege that He's given us through Christ. Each one of us is Christians. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In many places in the Old Testament, an angel appeared to somebody. In one case, he even wrestled with somebody. And it was called the angel. Not an angel, by the way. The angel of the Lord. Now, it seemed that these people had actually seen God.
Wow. That's interesting.
But it wasn't God that they saw, it was His angel. Another representative of the manifestation that they saw.
Jesus said, "He who has seen the Father, or pardon me, he who has seen me has seen the Father."
So in other words, in simply seeing Jesus, we saw the Father. He was the visible expression of the invisible God. In order to really have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we need to see Jesus. We see Jesus, His nature, His heart, we see God. He was challenged on that point, and he said, "You have been with me for so long, and yet you don't know me." What is he talking about? His appearance? Absolutely not. In fact, you know, Jesus was not a particularly attractive fellow. Did you know that? Something that says not. The scripture in prophecy says he had no comeliness that we should desire him. He was a particularly desirable as far as appearance. But he had a beauty that was beyond on the inside, a treasure to go to the top of it, to communion. They would see something vastly beyond what they had expected.
Just kind of a quick opportunity here. A good recipe for developing this eye, the eye that perception, God's perception, is first of all to see Jesus. To see him not in a physical sense, but with the spiritual eye. And then to see others. The scripture says that whatever we've done unto others, whatever we've done to the least of his brothers, Jesus said, we've done unto him. In other words, when you see your brother and sister, there's a part of Jesus in your heart. Maybe a bigger part than you think. And seeing him, his presence, God's presence, in one another, helps enlighten our spiritual eyes. And finally, see God in yourself. To see his work in you, after all, you've witnessed it pretty closely. You know that you've changed. You know that you aren't what you should be, but you're sure not what you used to be. And we can praise God for that. You know, if you're just left to evolution, you make progress so much. You're on the road to obedience. God is doing his work in you. You are his creation. He created every cell in your body. All 60 of those, all 60 trillion of those little cells were created by God. The amazing thing is they're not all the same. Some of those cells go to make hair. Some of those cells go to make little fingers. And other ones go to make thumbs. And you know, it's just remarkable what evolution can do. Just remarkable. Well, those things are planned and coded by God so that they will do what they're supposed to do. It's an amazing process. So see God in yourself, in the wonder of his creation, the way that he has made you, and in his recreation, the way he has changed you. Well, hopefully that element inside of us that we want to grow and be reflective of God's nature and his spirit is a new work. It's not simply something that we've renovated. It's not the work of our own hands. It's the work of God. So you saw a picture of beauty. Would you call this a picture of beauty? Dad, couple of things, one, no. Anybody else? Picture of beauty, yes or no? No? Have you seen a fancy to anybody? Is it a seen a fancy? It's at least not a beauty. Maybe it's not that big. I don't know. But it does to me. You see what this is really advertising? If you get this kind of lipstick, this can make you look really good. Kissable, maybe. Now, fellas,
if you think that is really good, think about this.
What would it be like to live with this gal for about 5 years?
Go around all day posing and passing around and not rich yet.
Well, thank you anyway.
Not for me.
What I love is inner beauty. Have you seen that before? That's remarkable. I love that picture. The name of that picture is Vanity. And here's what happens when you give your own name up instead of just trusting in God's beauty on the inside. You try to put it good. You sit at your vanity all day long. And here's what happens. It's just vanity. What is this? Is this something you can just put on? Who is this? Come on, this is a good looking kid. Is he? Okay. Before and after. Are you ready? This is what a self-made man looks like. You know, the self-made man is not the best way to go. I think God is a better job. How about you? Yeah. Oh, what a sad thing. You know, really, we laugh, and yet it is tragic. It really is. It's a tragic thing. And what he's done with his life, evidently, has been as ugly on the inside as it is on the outside. Oh, what a sad, sad thing. It was black and became white. And white people, it seems, want to spend endless hours laying in sun tanning beds. I don't get it. People with straight hair get curlers and put them in it. And people with curly hair iron it so it's straight. You can't improve on God. You know, maybe you are not the most, maybe you're not a knockout. So what? When people get to know you, that won't make any difference one way or the other. One way or the other. God's creation is not only filled with beauty, but it is filled with power. And the more we see, the more we understand His power, the closer we become to Him. There should be fear. There should be fear of a God who is going to bring retribution to those who are making themselves instead of trusting in Him. You know, I'm going to do this myself just because I can. Don't anybody get upset. I'm just going to turn the lights off for a minute. Have to make a big deal out of this. Now, how many of you have seen this? Few of you have. It's kind of an interesting illustration. When you really focus on Christ, you come to the point where you can see Him. Now, I'd like you just to relax for a moment and focus your eyes on the very center of the picture right there. You see those four dots? Focus your eyes right there. Just focus on those four dots and nothing else. And this is going to take about 20 or 30 seconds. Just, don't look at me, just look at those dots. Keep focusing, keep looking, not at the picture, just at those four dots in the very center. Keep looking, keep looking. Relax, keep looking. Okay, now close your eyes and tilt your head back. Just keep your eyes closed. And look. Look. You see it? You can see it? It's remarkable, isn't it? It is remarkable. Con, could I get you to a con sample? Could I please get you to turn those lights back on for us? No, there's a song. There's a song that is called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I have always liked that song. It encourages us to focus on Him. Some of you are trying it for the second or third time. I'll tell you a little secret on this.
And please don't do it now. We have other things more important to talk about. But if you stare at this thing for a while and close your eyes and put your head back, Jesus appears, kind of fades out. You don't stop here. You keep looking, you know what happens. He comes back. I'm not kidding. He comes back again, there is. Not quite as bright as it was before, but when Jesus does come back again, it's going to be a lot brighter than it was before. Yes.
Well, I have focused mainly on the sense of sight and the analogy that's provided in the scripture. But now I want to go to another sense, one of my very favorites. Anybody tell me what it is? Taste. Thank you. I love the way God made food. He made it so delicious, enjoyable. In John chapter 4, verse 32 and verse 34, it says this. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now wait just a minute. What had happened? They saw that Jesus hadn't eaten anything. They were concerned for him. And they said, Master, eat. And he said, I have food to eat that you do not know anything about. And then he said in verse 34 what he was talking about. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's he talking about? He lived for this. It was his vitality. It was his sustenance. He claimed it. To do God's will. That's what he was all about. From the beginning to the end, what he was all about is to do God's will. You remember when he was 12 years old, he said to his parents, I'm going to be about my father and Jesus. He prayed to do God's will. And you remember at the end, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, God, it is finished. He prayed to do God's will, and he did it. And he was richly, richly rewarded. The scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew chapter 4. Let's think about that one for a minute. And reveal, again, Jesus craving for the Lord's will. He's been tempted in the wilderness. Satan says, well, if you're the Son of God, make this rock become bread. And what did Jesus say? The scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, just like we crave bread, somehow, our soul, our spirit should crave God's will to understand His word, to hear His word. And notice that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know, some people like to focus on certain hobby passages of Scripture. It says to live by every word of God. God's word is likened to honey. It appeals to the taste. His word is sweeter than honey, Psalms 19:10. It is as nourishing as milk, 1 Peter 2:2, and it is as strengthening as meat, Hebrews 5:12-14. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst
for righteousness, for they shall be killed.
How do you get an appetite like that? You want to know how to really get a good appetite? Don't eat for a while. Starve your body, and you know what? You will get an appetite. I guarantee you, you will enjoy the food that you have. And if you starve yourself from the carnal pleasures, the pleasures of this world, the vanity and stupidity, you will have a craving. And you can feast on God's word. You can feast your eyes on the vision that He's given you, a spiritual thing.
Spiritual principle is this: if you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh. And not only that, if you sow to the flesh, you will lose your taste for the spiritual.
If you sow to the spiritual, you will lose your taste for the carnal.
And the scripture tells us in Romans 8 that we are supposed to live in the Spirit.
Live by the Spirit, not by the flesh.
At any juncture, you have two choices. You can go with the Spirit, God's will, His purpose, seeing through the eye of faith, taste the goodness of God. And by the way, the scripture does say that. I recommend reading Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. I don't have time to go through it now, but please read it. It talks about that nourishing aspect of the Word of God. I wish I had time. I'm running out of time quickly, so I'm going to have to hurry along here. Smell. Before, usually, our hunger is awakened, the sense of smell is activated.
You know, it smells a little different than here this morning, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? It smells a little bit distinctly like maybe a bakery. Somebody that's been cooking something or been milking something, doesn't it?
Well, the scripture not only emphasizes taste, but it emphasizes smell. But thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16, but thanks be to God who makes always, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere, notice these words, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the mother tongue. It's something that is a bit beyond the other senses. It speaks of the knowledge of Christ as being like a fragrance. Have you ever known somebody that you just knew had a different quality about them and you had a special appreciation for them? Then you didn't, because you sense Christ in their eyes. Maybe they didn't say, "I'm a Christian." Maybe they didn't make a big deal out of it, but they just cared and they just loved. So it says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God, now it speaks of God's sense of us, not of one another. We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? It's acknowledging that it's a very sacred and difficult task that demands it. You know, I'd like to share a scripture with you. I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to number 22.
There you'll find Isaiah 6:3.
Good?
What's wrong? What? What? Okay. Okay, now this is a special message to those of you in the back room. In the back room. There is a hymnal sitting on the chair to your side. If you will take it and turn to number 22 in the hymnal, you'll find something that will capture your culinary interest. The scripture talks about the sweet savor of God, the sweet savor of His taste. But I want to read this scripture in Isaiah 6:3. You ever turn your hymn for a scripture before? Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of thee. Heaven and earth are praising thee, holy Lord most high. Everything in the heavens, everything on the earth is praising Him. You know, Jesus talked about the rocks praising Him. He talked about the trees praising Him. The scripture talks in such an unusual way about our praise of God. It pictures everything as praising God. And you know what? It really does. Maybe we just don't have eyes to see. If you knew how a tree works, you might see it a little closer to God. You certainly should. Well, the things that relate to taste and to smell are a bit difficult for us sometimes to really relate in our spiritual connection with God. But He intends for us to do just precisely that. In Revelation 2 and verse 17, it talks about hearing. Our hearing needs to be connected. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only by him who received it." That's interesting. Perhaps God has given you a new name. Appropriate if your life has changed. Maybe sometime you'll find that white stone with that new name written on it. I take it this is figurative, but still meaningful. I believe about at least 7 or 8 times here in Revelation, clear up on through the last chapter, Jesus uses this phrase, "Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And it gives them promises and qualities. He says, "To him who overcomes, I will give." Give a gift. You have to meet yourself. To hear God, to hear the voice of God. But our gift of hearing, if we can hear things that He has made, a song that He has made, maybe through another service, our eyes might be open. Maybe our eyes, our ears would be open to His heart. Listen to the word. With somebody, those of you who have been newly married will especially know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are going together, there's nothing quite as sweet as their voice. Have you ever felt like, "I just can't wait to hear. I just can't wait to just can't wait to hear their voice. They call on the phone, and their voice stirs your heart. That's the way it is when you love somebody. And when you love God, His voice, His voice goes on. It will touch your heart. When you love Him, you'll know what Jesus meant when He said, "My sheep shall hear my voice." You finally, the touch of God's hand. Oh, just have a touch of His hand. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, by the way, this is blurry because it's just a small segment of a painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, symbolizing the touch of God's hand, that of man. And whatever He touches lives. Now, in the past, we have not given God permission to touch our hand. But as Christians, we made a decision to change. We made a decision to be open to Him, to have our senses, our hearts especially, open to Him. This morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And as the musicians come up, I want to share with you Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses. He can be touched, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto Him, or unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." As the scripture says, "May the beauty of the Lord be upon us." And I would say, "May the beauty of the Lord rest upon us." Let it not be just a temporary thing, but let it be permanent. Be determined to keep hold of that which is good. Hang on to it. Don't flounder around. Switch back and forth. Hang on to your faith in Christ. Through that faith, you are in touch through your spiritual senses with His nature. May God bless you and make His face to shine upon you. May He direct your paths in the light of His word. May He give you the peace that passes understanding. And may He give you the joy of seeing Him in others. May He give you the love that only comes from a real connection with Him. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. This is it back there? No. Leave it. Okay. We have somebody at the control back there. So that nobody up here has to worry about how the setting is. Don't sometimes change. Can I get it again? Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to sing a song that I think is appropriate for this. It's called "Turn Around Upon Me." Let's stand. If you have a need, feel free to come forward. Perhaps you have a spiritual need in your life. Don't hesitate. Step forward, and we would love to pray for you and along with you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Wonderful name, and the things